Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
7:15 now, so I go on my tirade about, you know, telling Uverse, here's your four, whatever it is I'm paying $10 a month for, and here's your package of this and that and the other thing. And because they're not going to carry the LSU game on ABC. It's going to be on ESPN only, and Uverse and DirecTV are fighting it out, and I'm tired of paying and not getting ESPN. And I get texts simultaneously from my kid who's listening online in Ruston and Jordan Fiegel, who is producing, and they both say Uverse TV, Uverse TV. And I think I'm already paying for that, but it's hard to tell because Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner, joins us now. How you doing, Tim?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you today?
I'm all right. You know how it is. You pay for streaming services, then the kid gets the password, and then they share it with 15 of their friends, with 15 of their other friends, and you're paying the bill, and you try to subscribe, and you can't watch the damn thing. Am I right or not?
It never stops.
It never stops. There's your quote for today when it comes to being a parent. It never stops. Tim, tell me about, first of all, Francine. And look, I know if you're without power right now, and God bless you if your house flooded, it's not a minor event to you. But overall, looking at the big picture and some of the disasters that we've been through, it could have been a lot worse with Francine.
Yeah, look, Tommy, I would agree. I mean, this could have been a much worse storm, but it's certainly bad enough if you receive damage from it, right? And so that's what we're focused on. You know, we're working with the insurance companies to make sure that they start bringing adjusters in as soon as claims are reported so that people can start the claims process. And I want to hammer that a lot. File your claim. If you receive damage, file a claim early, and let's get that process started as quickly as possible.
Tim, when it comes to damage that doesn't, you know, meet the deductible or whatever it is, it's important that they file anyway?
You know, that's where, you know, Tommy, when we first started talking about this, about be insurance ready and understand what your deductible is and what that means dollar-wise, I think that's part of the equation that has to go into people's minds. You know, if you received minor damage, you probably, you know, that's a call. I would suggest that you call and talk to your agent and get their professional opinion on that, and get their suggestion. But if it's falling within your deductible, then obviously you're going to have to pay for those costs yourself.
So if it does, I'm just wondering, does that count against you as filing a claim? And if you're not going to get any money anyway, what's the sense in that? Or would it apply if there's another storm or something, or if there is another storm and you have damage? Is it a cumulative effect? How does that work, Tim?
Yeah, look, if you know, it doesn't count against you to file a claim. When the calculations go into it is, you know, once companies have to pay money out.
Gotcha.
And as far as if there was another, if there were to be another event this season, you know, we would have to look at that and see. Again, if you filed a claim and you didn't have any damage paid out, versus if you filed a claim and you had damage paid, whether how that would treat on a future, you know, a future deductible. We hadn't had that question before, but that's certainly one we need to we can look into and get back to you on that one.
I'd like you to do that because I've heard conflicting things that it is a cumulative thing where you should file it, because then if it all counts toward your hurricane deductible, if that's the case with a named storm, or sometimes people have bought that down. Talk about, if you will, Tim, the damage in the state and what kind of dollars we're looking at, and also the response of insurance companies with adjusters, what you're hearing from people in the state that need adjusters.
Yeah, you know, look, like I said, I mean, you know, this storm could have been much worse, and certainly if you've got damage, is bad enough. But, you know, from what we've seen, the indications we're getting, and I was fortunate enough to be part of the tour yesterday. We went to South Louisiana and looked at some damage there. You know, I didn't see as much widespread damage as I saw, you know, after Laura over in southeast Louisiana, and then after, you know, Delta Zeta and Ida here. So, one thing to keep in mind is we've got, you know, a lot of new roofs on in South Louisiana. And, you know, from early observations, it looks like those roofs held up well. So, I mean, I think that's a positive. I've seen some initial reports from some of the reporting agencies that are, you know, they're, and this is early in the game, obviously, but, you know, they're pegging this somewhere around $1 billion loss. And again, this is early. We still got to get, you know, claims start to flow in, but and those are going to probably most likely be well within either the retention that you have through your deductible or primary insurance company's retention. So I don't see this being a big reinsurance event. And I'll tell you, you know, Tommy, once we knew that this storm was headed toward Louisiana, I started engaging in conversations with insurance company executives, their claim staff. And we started, you know, having those conversations, making sure that they were doing what they are supposed to do, which is, you know, pre-position adjusters, get them close to the area so that they can get in as quickly as possible once claims start to be reported. And I can tell you, you know, every conversation I've had with companies, they were staging resources in preparation for this being a much bigger event than it was. So, you know, I feel good that the companies are going to respond quickly and timely. And I say this all the time, you know, the insurance company's obligation. They need to get out to your property quickly and start to adjust your home and pay you fairly as soon as they can.
I want to talk
and
about.
We're going to hold them accountable to that.
Thank you, Tim. Let's take a break. I'll talk about the reinsurance thing that you mentioned and affecting the future and so forth. Because what I heard you say yesterday, I think you were on Channel 4. It got my attention. I think it was pretty interesting. Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. Talking about filing an insurance claim. If you have any questions, by the way, 504-260-1870. I'll be glad to pass them along to the Commissioner of Insurance. 721 traffic now, WWL.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Insurance Commissioner Tim Temple. Tim, somebody texted in. I know you said you do some research on this. I'm not trying to get an answer from you, but just about policies in general. I guess the policy relating to policy. Somebody said they were told by State Farm that if they filed a claim, they would cancel them. Is that legal for an insurance company to say if you file a claim,
look,
we're going to cancel
if,
you?
I would encourage, if that's a listener, report that to the Department of Insurance. Call over here, 1-800-259-5300, and if they've got the details on that, report that. We will certainly investigate and take appropriate action.
It didn't sound right to me. Talk about the fortified – before we get the fortified roof – I heard you talk about the changes that were made and how, and earlier you mentioned with me, reinsurance, and I found this interesting. First of all, I admire you for owning the program that you instituted, that you pushed through the legislature, and it's like, you know what, if it doesn't work, blame me, but this is what needs to be done, and I admire you for that, and something had to be done because what we were doing was not working. That's obvious. With that being said, you don't think this is going to, you said $1 billion of damages, but you don't think, and that's, you know, $1 billion, but you said you don't think this is going to count long term against us because we talked about, you know, an occurrence of a couple of storms or something like that and hurting the reinsurance market. And you know where I'm getting going with this. Is this going to change anything about insurance companies writing in Louisiana that we were impacted by Francine?
No, look, Tommy, I think the conversation we've got to start having is that Louisiana is a catastrophe-prone state. So we need to be having conversation and encouraging and promoting companies to do business in Louisiana that have the business plan to handle these types of storms. We do not need companies that want to come in and write your business, take your premium, and their business plan is as soon as the wind blows that they blow with it, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that is, we encouraged and promoted and allowed a bunch of companies to come in years past that wrote a lot of cheap insurance, and people thought that they had a great product, and it was really, you know, it was great. It was cheap, and they had protection. But when we had those hurricanes, 12 companies went insolvent, and the good premium you paid didn't get you anything. It had to go to LIGA, and there's a lot of issues there. So, you know, we've got to look and promote and encourage companies that come in that have the, as I've said, they've got the financial resources. They have the proper reinsurance purchase. They have the business plan to stay here and provide a product that we need, we desperately need in our state. And that's what my focus is. And I work with companies. I work with regulators. You know, I'm working with everybody to make sure that we're promoting Louisiana as a state that you can come do business. But you've got to have the right business plan.
Tim, when it comes to the power situation in Grand Isle, Lower Lafourche, and I'm just using this as an analogy, I guess, they hardened the system. It seemed to fare pretty well during Francine, and I think that can be an indication of fortified roofs and everything else and how, because things are different, and Louisiana is, as you said, a catastrophe-prone state? Is that how you phrased it?
It is. And look, I'm glad you talked.
We need to change the way we build is just what I was going to ask, and then I'll turn it over to you. And that goes to fortified roofs and more, right?
Yeah, look, we do need to look at how we build and the quality and the construction. And listen, you know, I've been involved in a lot of conversations the last few days looking at the state infrastructure. And one of the things that we're talking about, and look, I know there's, still 120,000 people without power right now, but from all indications, it could have been much worse. We were down in Lafourche and Terrebonne Parish yesterday, and they were talking about how the levees that they built worked. It protected the homes. They didn't flood. You know, the infrastructure, the resiliency, the mitigation efforts that they spent money on, they worked. And the same philosophy applies to the fortified roof. You know, we've already had eyes on several, about half a dozen, maybe a dozen homes now that had fortified roofs put on them. You know, they've gone out, they've taken pictures, they've talked to the people that lived in them. They work, and we need more of that.
What's the next plan for that next stage of fortified roof programs, grants, applications, et cetera?
Yeah, that new the new application process is period is rolling out September 15th. It's going to be a 3-day period, open enrollment period, where people can submit their name and property, and then we're going to do a lottery. Unlike the last time, it was first come first serve. We're going to give everybody that's in the eligible area 3 days to enroll, and then there'll be an electronic lottery that will select the next round of applicants.
Tim, let me tell you, I don't have any reason to curry favor with you, but I do have to tell you, as an elected official, you had a plan, you got it through, you own it, you stand by it, and I respect you for that. Have a good weekend, all right?
Well, thank you. Look forward to getting on, and let's talk about fraud next time.
Oh, absolutely. Tim, you're welcome whenever you want to come on. Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner. Maybe Monday we can do that because time is of the essence. We'll take a break, talk with Entergy when we come back. Also, Joe Valiente from Jefferson Parish, 7:30. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. Thank you. 7:38:22 till 8. Nika Scott joins us now, Customer Service Vice President for Entergy New Orleans. How you doing, Nika?
Hey, Tommy. Good morning. I'm good.
Get any sleep?
Maybe an hour or so.
Yeah, it's hard. Everybody's going through it, especially the leaders and people like you that are in a position of trying to restore power and so forth. Tell me what the situation, how it stands in Orleans Parish, because you're representing Entergy New Orleans for people. I want to be clear about that so they understand that you can talk about Orleans Parish East and West Bank. Accurate?
That's correct.
Okay. Tell me what the situation is, what you guys are doing, seeing, et cetera.
Yes. Yeah, so look, I don't mind being up. That's our job. You know, when we have a hurricane and a storm rolls through, it's our job to make sure power gets back on, and we'll be up and at it and keep doing it until everybody's restored. So as of this morning, we have a little bit over 12,000 customers who are still out. Those are mainly in the Carrollton and Gentilly Terrace area. We do have crews that'll be working that today. Long estimate of getting that area back on is tomorrow. But hoping for a shorter time frame. We'll check in a little bit later to see how the work's going.
If you can, Nika, and I don't want to get too technical here or get into the engineering realm, but people texted me and said, you know, they didn't see any trucks in Gentilly. They didn't see this, didn't see that. I don't know what people are seeing or what they're not. But it's not always about what's going on in your neighborhood. And exchange that, please. Explain that, if you will. And I'll just say about Entergy Louisiana, because I live in Belchase. After Zeta, I think it was, I was without power for about a week and a half. And I'm wondering what the hell is going on here. And then I realized somebody the wind had knocked down a power pole down the line that was not within eyesight of me that had to be replaced before I could get power back. And a point I'm trying to make is it's not all about what happens in your neighborhood, right, or what you see going on in your neighborhood.
No, Tommy, you're exactly right. My house personally was without power until late last night. And you know, there was not damage on my street, but there are damage to poles in the area. There may be damage to, you know, near a substation where all the power comes out of for a certain area. So if the damage is there, that's where the work is going to be done. So just because you don't see a truck rolling down your street or even in your neighborhood doesn't mean that we're not working your area.
In terms of, and I'm just going to get to the chase here, you guys are in the business of providing power, correct?
That's correct.
So, and I'm establishing a foundation here, Nika. It would be in your best interest to get the power back on as quickly as possible, would it not?
That's correct as well. And plus, you know, that's the responsibility we owe to our customers.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying, from a business standpoint, people need to realize, and look, again, it's never soon enough if it's you that's without power. But nobody wants to restore power more quickly than does Entergy. Accurate?
That's very accurate, Tommy.
So along those lines, go ahead, finish what you were saying. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, you know, we had a peak customer load or a peak outage estimate of about 55,000 customers. You know, after the storm rolled through. And you know, we're at 75% customers restored, you know, within 36 hours of the eyewall passing through New Orleans. So you know, we're proud of that. It's never, you know, obviously we wish it was all of them. But you know, our crews are working as hard as they can. We brought in extra crews and we want people up and restored as soon as possible.
And just to be clear, just because you don't see anything going on in your neighborhood, it doesn't mean that it's not being worked on. There is an order. You can't just flip a switch. There needs to be a progression. There needs to be a plan. The evaluation, what do you call it? I guess that's what you would call it, that happened yesterday, Nika?
The damage assessment. Yeah,
that's all been done, and now the plan is there, and you're working on it, and hopefully all of Orleans Parish by sometime tomorrow. Accurate?
That's correct. And look, if your neighborhood is up and you're out, call our 800 number to report it, because it's probably a problem with your individual residence, or get on the app and let us know.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you, I asked you about that as well before we let you go, because sometimes if there's a problem with your home, you're not going to get power because it's not safe to restore it.
That's correct.
Thank you, Nike. Appreciate it. Micah Scott,
thank you, Tommy.
Customer Service Vice President for Entergy New Orleans. And look, I'm no Entergy apologist. I'm just telling you, they're in the energy business. They want to get the power going as quickly as they can. 743, 17 till 8. We'll talk to Joe Valiente about what happened in Jefferson Parish when we come back on WWL. Five till eight. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Roman Nelson joins us now, Superintendent of the New Orleans Fire Department. Good morning, Chief. How are you?
I'm good, Tommy. Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time. I know it was a rough hurricane for y'all. Y'all had fire and rain and everything else. And did you ever find out what caused that fire in that big old building on Piety and wherever it was?
We did not. It's still under investigation.
Chief, one thing I saw that amazed me, I don't know how y'all did it, but the fire had burned through the roof, and the guys were standing in there on the attic. That just goes to the dangers of firefighting, man. That had to be a tough situation, huh?
It is a dangerous job, Tommy, but our guys are trained, so they have special skills to do those kind of things.
Man, that scared me to see that, because, you know, you never know when something's going to collapse and all that stuff. Let's talk about generator safety, Chief, because... You know, so far, knock wood, no fatalities with this storm. I guess there have been some injuries, but we want to avoid that if we can. Take me through generator safety in the time that we have remaining, 3.5 minutes or so, about portable generators and how, you know, hell, you know what to tell people. Go ahead, Chief.
Well, Tommy, just to start.
Thank you. 7:38, 22 till 8. Nika Scott joins us now, Customer Service Vice President for Entergy New Orleans. How you doing, Nika?
Hey, Tommy. Good morning. I'm good.
Get any sleep?
Maybe an hour or so.
Yeah, it's hard. Everybody's going through it, especially the leaders and people like you that are in a position of trying to restore power and so forth. Tell me what the situation, how it stands in Orleans Parish, because you're representing Entergy New Orleans for people. I want to be clear about that so they understand that you can talk about Orleans Parish East and West Bank. Accurate?
That's correct.
Okay. Tell me what the situation is, what you guys are doing, seeing, et cetera.
Yes. So look, I don't mind being up. That's our job. You know, when we have a hurricane and a storm rolls through, it's our job to make sure power gets back on, and we'll be up and at it and keep doing it until everybody's restored. So as of this morning, we have a little bit over 12,000 customers who are still out. Those are mainly in the Carrollton and Gentilly Terrace area. We do have crews that'll be working that today. Long estimate of getting that area back on is tomorrow, but hoping for a shorter time frame. We'll check in a little bit later to see how the work's going.
If you can, Nika, and I don't want to get too technical here or get into the engineering realm, but people texted me and said, you know, they didn't see any trucks in Gentilly, they didn't see this, didn't see that. I don't know what people are seeing or what they're not, but it's not always about what's going on in your neighborhood. And exchange that, please. Explain that, if you will. And I'll just say about Entergy Louisiana, because I live in Belchase. After Zeta, I think it was, I was without power for about a week and a half. And I'm wondering what the hell is going on here. And then I realized somebody knocked down a power pole down the line that was not within eyesight of me. That had to be replaced before I could get power back. And the point I'm trying to make is it's not all about what happens in your neighborhood, right, or what you see going on in your neighborhood.
No, Tommy, you're exactly right. My house personally was without power until late last night. And, you know, there was not damage on my street, but there are damage to poles in the area. There may be damage to, you know, near a substation. Where all the power comes out of for a certain area. So if the damage is there, that's where the work is going to be done. So just because you don't see a truck rolling down your street or even in your neighborhood doesn't mean that we're not working your area.
In terms of, and I'm just going to get to the chase here, you guys are in the business of providing power, correct?
That's correct.
So, and I'm establishing a foundation here, Nika. It would be in your best interest to get the power back on as quickly as possible, would it not?
That's correct as well. And plus, you know, that's the responsibility we owe to our customers.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying, from a business standpoint, people need to realize, and look, again, it's never soon enough if it's you that's without power, but nobody wants to restore power more quickly than does Entergy. Accurate?
That's very accurate, Tommy.
So along those lines, go ahead, finish what you were saying. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, you know, we had a peak customer load or a peak outage estimate of about 55,000 customers, you know, after the storm rolled through. And, you know, we're at 75% customers restored, you know, within 36 hours of the eyewall passing through New Orleans. So you know, we're proud of that. It's never, you know, obviously we wish it was all of them. But you know, our crews are working as hard as they can. We brought in extra crews, and we want people up and restored as soon as possible.
And just to be clear, just because you don't see anything going on in your neighborhood, it doesn't mean that it's not being worked on. There is an order. You can't just flip a switch. There needs to be a progression. There needs to be a plan. The evaluation. What do you call it? I guess it's what you would call it. That happened yesterday, Nika.
The damage assessment,
Yeah, that's all been done, and now the plan is there, and you're working on it, and hopefully all of Orleans Parish by sometime tomorrow. Accurate?
That's correct. And look, if your neighborhood is up and you're out, call our 800 number to report it, because it's probably a problem with your individual residence, or get on the app and let us know.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you, I ask you about that as well before we let you go, because sometimes if there's a problem with your home, you're not going to get power because it's not safe to restore it.
That's correct.
Thank you, Nika. Appreciate it. Nika Scott,
thank you, Tommy.
Customer Service Vice President for Entergy New Orleans. And look, I'm no Entergy apologist. I'm just telling you, they're in the energy business. They want to get the power going as quickly as they can. 743, 17 till 8. We'll talk to Joe Valiente about what happened in Jefferson Parish when we come back on WWL. Five till eight. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Roman Nelson joins us now, Superintendent of the New Orleans Fire Department. Good morning, Chief. How are you?
I'm good, Tommy. Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time. I know it was a rough hurricane for y'all. Y'all had fire and rain and everything else. And did you ever find out what caused that fire in that big old building on Piety and wherever it was?
We did not. It's still under investigation.
Chief, one thing I saw that amazed me, I don't know how y'all did it, but the fire had burned through the roof, and the guys were standing in there on the attic. That just goes to the dangers of firefighting. Man, that had to be a tough situation, huh?
It is a dangerous job, Tommy, but our guys are trained, so they have special skills to do those kind of things.
Man, that scared me to see that, because, you know, you never know when something's going to collapse and all that stuff. Let's talk about generator safety, Chief, because, you know, so far, knock wood, no fatalities with this storm. I guess there have been some injuries, but we want to avoid that if we can. Take me through generator safety in the time that we have remaining, 3.5 minutes or so, about portable generators and how, you know, hell, you know what to tell people. Go ahead, Chief.
Well, Tommy, just to start about carbon monoxide, right? Carbon monoxide is the threat. And I'll explain it the way we learn as firefighters, right? Anything organic that burns produces carbon monoxide. So it's the danger in smoke at a regular fire. It's what causes people to get disoriented once they inhale smoke. And it's the same thing that's happening when that natural gas or that gasoline or that diesel is burning in your generator. And so the big threat is that, you know, in the past, if you had an all-electric home, you didn't have a carbon monoxide detector in your home. Mm-hmm. So now it's a storm, power's out, people are getting generators, and there's that risk of carbon monoxide building up in their home and them being unaware. So we really just try to urge people to learn about generator safety and to use them safely. And you want the generator to be 20 feet away from your home, away from doors and windows. Right? And also get a carbon monoxide detector in your home so that you can be aware. Because we saw strange things after Hurricane Ida when we had generators running for lengthy periods of time in situations where people weren't used to using them. So it could be outside, away from doors and windows. but carbon monoxide is basically a little bit lighter than air, so it kind of can travel with air. So we saw carbon monoxide around the state coming in through the ventilation system that normally goes into your attic and then settling down in the homes and putting people at risk, or coming in through doors and windows. So we really just want people to be aware of the danger and to be safe when they're using these portable generators.
You know, Chief, I always thought a good way for people to think about it is when you're running a generator, it's the same as running a lawnmower. And you wouldn't run a lawnmower in your house, and you right, or in your garage or anything like that, would you?
Absolutely. The exact same thing, Tom. It's the same thing. You're using that small engine, right, that gasoline motor that's putting off that carbon monoxide. Just like you wouldn't have a lawnmower in your garage, you don't want to have a generator in your garage.
And I know that includes refilling a generator with gasoline. Talk about gasoline safety and also about the fumes, because I don't think people realize that the danger with gasoline really are the fumes as much as the liquid, if not more so.
Well, people don't realize, Tommy, that life is not like the movies, right? In the movie, you see somebody pour down some gasoline, and then they throw a cigarette and the light's on fire, right? It's not the liquid gasoline that catches on fire. It's the vapors that are coming off that gasoline that are the danger. They're highly ignitable, so any kind of spark, any kind of open flame can cause them to ignite, right? So with your generator, you've got a very hot generator, right, with a spark source, with a spark plug and everything else, right? And you just don't want to take the chance with those fumes around that hot generator refilling it. So let it sit 15, 20 minutes, let it cool down, just an abundance of caution to be safe when you refill it.
Thank you, Chief. God bless you. I appreciate your work. We'll be back talking to Mike Dottiglia about the Saints. Five till eight. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Roman Nelson joins us now, superintendent of the New Orleans Fire Department. Good morning, Chief. How are you?
I'm good, Tommy. Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time. I know it was a rough hurricane for y'all. Y'all had fire and rain and everything else. And did you ever find out what caused that fire in that big old building on Piety and wherever it was?
We did not. It's still under investigation.
Chief, one thing I saw that amazed me, I don't know how y'all did it, but the fire had burned through the roof, and the guys were standing in there on the attic. That just goes to the dangers of firefighting. Man, that had to be a tough situation, huh?
It is a dangerous job, Tommy, but our guys are trained, so they have special skills to do those kind of things.
Man, that scared me to see that, because, you know, you never know when something's going to collapse and all that stuff. Let's talk about generator safety, Chief, because, you know, so far, knock wood, no fatalities with this storm. I guess there have been some injuries, but we want to avoid that if we can. Take me through generator safety in the time that we have remaining, 3.5 minutes or so, about portable generators and how, you know, hell, you know what to tell people. Go ahead, Chief.
Well, Tommy, just to start about carbon monoxide, right? Carbon monoxide is the threat. And I'll explain it the way we learn as firefighters, right? Anything organic that burns produces carbon monoxide. So it's the danger in smoke at a regular fire. It's what causes people to get disoriented once they inhale smoke. And it's the same thing that's happening when that natural gas or that gasoline or that diesel is burning in your generator. And so the big threat is that, you know, in the past, if you had an all-electric home, you didn't have a carbon monoxide detector in your home. Mm-hmm. So now it's a storm, power's out, people are getting generators, and there's that risk of carbon monoxide building up in their home and them being unaware. So we really just try to urge people to learn about generator safety and to use them safely. And you want the generator to be 20 feet away from your home, away from doors and windows. Right? And also get a carbon monoxide detector in your home so that you can be aware. Because we saw strange things after Hurricane Ida when we had generators running for lengthy periods of time in situations where people weren't used to using them. So it could be outside, away from doors and windows. But carbon monoxide is basically a little bit lighter than air, so it kind of can travel with air. So we saw carbon monoxide around the state coming in through the ventilation system that normally goes into your attic and then settling down in the homes and putting people at risk, or coming in through doors and windows. So we really just want people to be aware of the danger and to be safe when they're using these portable generators.
You know, Chief, I always thought a good way for people to think about it is when you're running a generator, it's the same as running a lawnmower. And you wouldn't run a lawnmower in your house, and you right, or in your garage or anything like that, would you?
Absolutely, the exact same thing, Tom. It's the same thing. You're using that small engine, right, that gasoline motor that's putting off that carbon monoxide. Just like you wouldn't have a lawnmower in your garage, you don't want to have a generator in your garage.
And I know that includes refilling a generator with gasoline. Talk about gasoline safety and also about the fumes, because I don't think people realize that the danger with gasoline really are the fumes as much as the liquid, if not more so.
Well, people don't realize, Tommy, that life is not like the movies, right? In the movie, you see somebody pour down some gasoline, and then they throw a cigarette, and the light's on fire, right? It's not the liquid gasoline that catches on fire. It's the vapors that are coming off that gasoline that are the danger. They're highly ignitable, so any kind of spark, any kind of open flame can cause them to ignite, right? So with your generator, you've got a very hot generator, right, with a spark source, with the spark plug and everything else, right? And you just don't want to take the chance with those fumes around that hot generator refilling it. So let it sit 15, 20 minutes, let it cool down, just an abundance of caution to be safe when you refill it.
Thank you, Chief. God bless you. I appreciate your work. We'll be back talking to Mike Dottiglie about the Saints.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.